So I know last month, or last week, I should say, it looked like it was 11,000, but the reality is we had money that had been collected last year for the Harvest Festival, and that money, you know, the things and the projects that were done last month were actually paid for. So we didn't want to paint a picture that looked to be more negative than it was. We are, however, just a little bit behind. Some of that just has to do with the fact that at the beginning of the year, you get your bills for your insurances and those kind of things like that. So when you start out the year, sometimes that's kind of how it looks. However, you guys have been so generous. I mean, when you look, we have a new projector that has been collected for this year from the generosity of you that are here. We had scholarships that were provided for the man camp and people that were able to go to that camp and had an opportunity to just deepen their faith. There's all kinds of things that we just want to really thank you and express our appreciation for your generosity. But we do have work to be done. We have the work that we believe God has called us to do. We have the work that's taking place in Traver. We have the work of sharing the gospel. And this is where the finances go. The finances from this church go towards a kingdom perspective that says we're going to be a going church that takes the gospel to the people that need to hear it. So as you give today, give in consideration of what we want to do, of what God has laid upon your heart, because that's obviously between you and Him. But know that the money that is received is used exactly for the spread and the advance of the gospel. If I could ask the offering team to come forward, and I'll pray for our offering today. Gracious Father, thank you so much for all that you do. We know that from the words of Hudson Taylor that your work done your way will never lack your resources. So we thank you for that, Father, and we just pray that as we give from the bounty that you have given us, that we do so cheerfully, not under compulsion, but with an attitude towards the work that you desire to be done within your kingdom. We thank you for that, Father, and we just praise you and ask your blessing on this day. Amen. Now, if you are a guest here with us, we provide, or we just ask, CJ likes to say, sit on your wallet. This is not something we don't expect you as a guest to have to give towards our church or to the things that are going. But as he also likes to say, if you are in a giving mood, you go right ahead and give, because we're going to take that money and we're going to use it for God's kingdom. Amen.
Great is your faithfulness, so great is your faithfulness. Oh, for you never change and you never fail, oh God. True are your promises, so true are your promises. Oh, for you never change and you never fail, oh God. And so we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is to come. Yeah, we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is to come.
Wide is your love.
Wide is your love and grace. Oh, so wide is your love and grace. Oh, for you never change and you never fail, oh God.
Wide is your love.
Wide is your love and grace. Oh, so wide is your love and grace. Oh, for you never change and you never fail, oh God.
Let's sing that one more time.
And so we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy
who was and is to come. Yeah, we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is to come. Who was and is? Who was and is to come. Who was and is? Who was and is to come. Amen.
I forgot my mic went out, but I'll be right back.
Prayer cards. I mean, for people to pray for Traver. Yeah. Am I on? Is this thing mic'd? Because this is all I got. All right, let's turn the rotisserie lights off, at least that one, because I'm having a fever. And in my delusions, you guys look great. Welcome to Orchard Bible Fellowship. It's great to have you here on this Sunday morning. We're going to be talking to a special guest. And I was going to set the stage up to look kind of like a Johnny Carson thing. And then I thought, who is going to be my straight man? Normally that's Dave, but we get in trouble when he and I start joking around, so things blow up. So I thought, you know, let's not do that. Let's go ahead and pray. All right, wait, we still have kids here, right? All right, you know I can't preach to these little kids here. Let's go ahead. Kids, you're dismissed to Children's Church. There they go. Slow down. They're in a hurry to learn about God. Right down. Leave those on. That's great. Perfect. Don't adjust yet, because then the lights start doing this weird thing. And they're good. Well, it's just me. I'm having, brain fog? Something like that. Any guys want to take a minute? Go ahead and greet somebody that's here this morning. Be nice. Greet. Yes, greet. Oh, excellent. Yes, ma'am. Somebody say hi to George Nord. Get over there. Move. David. Testing 1, 2.
Testing. All right. Just go ahead and keep that muted down, Dave. Mute this. It's muted? Mute it.
Hit mute. There you go. All right. Let's sit down. Dave, it's time for the proclamation of the word, which helps when I have my Bible. Hey, go ahead and turn into Acts. We're going to spend some time in Acts real quick here. The book of Acts is actually a two-part book. The first section of Acts starts in Luke. It's book one and book two. They are written to Theophilus. It's a Greek term. It's not necessarily a name. It's more of a position. Somebody you would call a person who is in a position of authority. And this person, Theophilus, was given the most correct accounting of what took place in the life of Christ through Luke. The author of the Gospel of Luke. And then Luke also wrote what happened after that took place. So if you ever want to have a good time, I mean, just a great date night, and you're cheap, get yourself something nice to sit down, a cappuccino with your date, and read Luke, and then come back and read Acts on your next date. So if you're single and you want to know if that person really cares about Jesus Christ, try that on your first date. Where's Jacob? That's a great way to winnow out the week, is if they would spend the time in the Word with you together. They're connected. They're thematically connected the way he speaks from one book to the other. Acts chapter 1, I want to make sure you understand that when we preach the Word of God here at the Orchard, it is without error. Are you hot too? Because like, I feel like I'm going through menopause right now. So if we can get some air going back there, it's getting hot. That's because you guys are full contact worshipers. You got up and some of you are doing your disco moves. And I know when I raise my hands in worship, what I'm doing is I'm offering him the tools by which he can work with. Everything I have. Surrender it all to him. So it's not just we're doing the holy wave, which can get a little distracting, but it's an opportunity for me to say, God, it's all yours. If I could salute him, I would. That would work for me because I'm a Bronco fan. So we do the mile high salute. But in worship, you just want to give God everything. We've gotten to the point where if he made us to be communicative creatures, to receive from him his word and to take that word, communicate it to others, 90% of our communication is nonverbal, right? So, you know, a whole lot more to worship is an attitude and a lifestyle than merely just repeating words. But I'll guarantee you, your worship means nothing if you don't have the right gospel. And that gospel is without any power if you're not overwhelmed with the gift of love that is from Jesus Christ. That's a spiritual gift in 1 Corinthians 13:1. It's what sets everything else off. So this morning we're going to be talking about the love of the gospel and it going out for the sake of Christ. Because you might be wondering, why Traver? Why not Fowler? Why not Reedley? Why not Dinuba? But why Traver? And I've explained early on when I had a vision for this, it wasn't because I'm all that smart, but the Lord just kind of said, hey, take a look at what God's doing. They need an on-fire church. This country needs to put aside churches that exist because we have a right to exist, and they need to exist because they are serving Jesus Christ first with a mission. And we are blessed in a town that had a radical change in its history 100-plus years ago. And I won't go through it all with you, but you're in luck in this church. You can go to talk to June Hess, and she will give you the 22-minute version. And that's not easy to do. But here's the 2-minute version. This place was filled with liquor and opiates to feed the railroads. That was this town. That's what they did until immigrants came here from a far-off land and brought the gospel. And they changed this town. Somehow, though, this great country that was built on religious freedom, personal enterprise, integrity, personal responsibility, it's changed. Things have changed. God hasn't changed. The gospel hasn't changed. The nature of man hasn't changed. It's the nature of the fellowship of the church that I think has changed. You see, I think the church has changed. This church, every church, whether it's evangelical free, MB, Baptist, General Association of Regular Baptist Conference, or GARB, or whoever you want to talk about, there's become a mentality of the shopper saying, I am here for my own purposes. And what you need to do is figure out how you can serve me. That's the, what do we call that, Dave? The what kind of mentality? the consumer mentality. That's good. I've been talking enough where we can, some of you, thank you for filling in when my brain goes blank. The consumer mentality. We had a choice 5 years ago to say, are we going to continue trying to be a consumer mentality church or an equipping church? Because that's what Ephesians 4 tells me and our elders, what we're to do is to equip y'all to go kick in the gates of hell. That means we might need to change your feet, change your shoes. You see, at the end of Ephesians, there's this beautiful point where he describes this armored man. And his feet are shod with what? The gospel. That's what moves us. That's what moves us off of 19th and Stroud. That's what would move us if we ever went to Reedley and said, we're not just going to go to a church in Reedley. We're going after that college campus. And we're not just going after those kids. We're going after their teachers with the gospel. We are not going to settle for just getting by. We're going to engage the enemy. In the army, we call that shoot, move, and communicate. Engage the enemy. Have your communication lines open. And be on the move all the time. Being ready to move, move, move. Why? Because it, just like with anything, if you hit a plateau, then you're actually falling backwards. Because in God's economy, there is no neutrality. You're either moving or you're falling behind. And so as we look at this in Acts, remember the big thing in Acts here, we're first wanting, and what does this have to do with my Revelation series? Remember in Revelation, I started out in Acts. Acts here has a really cool thing that you have to realize the importance of. Acts 1:6 says this. So when they had come together, they asked him, they being the disciples, asked him, that being Jesus Christ, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, or for some of you have epochs, that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Rather, and right there at 8 you have a but it's but, rather. It should be rather, not but. You can cross that if you want to. You can say, CJ said it under his authority. That word there is better translated rather, because it's giving you a juxtaposition. You're so tied up in end times wanting the kingdom to come. He didn't say they were wrong in their expectation, did he? He didn't correct their, well, you got it wrong. Israel's going to be replaced by the church. There is not going to be a second. He didn't get off into that. He said, rather than being all tied up with that, because in God, that's a done deal. Rather than being all tied up in that, guess what you need to be about doing? Rather than being tied up in end time controversies or tied up in, you know, what do the seven horns with the 23 eyeballs, what does that all mean out of Revelation in different places? Rather than getting so tied up in that, you will receive power. The word there, dunamis, means to be enabled, made able. And if you're to be made able, you have to ask, made able for what? To do what? See, we always look at dunamis as dynamite. Boom, big explosion things. And so the church thinks something's going great when we have the big concerts and the big explosive, super duper, you know, everybody come out to a crusade and everybody, boom, boom, all these, boom, look how great, boom, look how good. And churches are dying all around us. But we got these whiz-bang things. Well, dunamis is not about whiz-bang boom. Dunamis is about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Being made able. And if somebody's made you able, then what do they have the right to do? Hold you accountable. I have made you for this. I've given you the power to do this. So he goes, rather you will receive power, dunamis, enablement, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. There was a plan to move the gospel out. And a lot of times we get caught in Acts 2, don't we? Because it's beautiful. People are sharing all their stuff. Everybody's having banquets. It's a fun time. And everything's going good until what? Stephen pops off, gets all in the spirit, goes and preaches people. And then guess who shows up? Saul, right? Later to be Paul. Saul shows up with his crew. His job is to imprison and put down these Christians because they had come together. They were up around 3,000, 4,000 people. Can you imagine that in Jerusalem? 4,000 people. Well, that's nothing compared to how many people are there from Pentecost or from before Pentecost, from Passover to Pentecost. That town would normally quadruple its size just for that season. And then they'd run out of food and they'd say, okay, everybody go home. We're done. But these people didn't go home. They stuck around. We know it was a pinch because of Hellenistic Jewish women that didn't have husbands over them to care for them were like, hey, we have no family. We're out of food. We can't sit here and hang out singing Kumbaya with you all day long. We're hungry. Well, the Jewish ones, they didn't have to worry about it because where were they from? That area. They got plenty of food and family to take care of them. The idea was they were supposed to go. They weren't supposed to sit there in some Christian amusement park. They were supposed to take what they had and get going. But you know what's cool is when God does work and everybody's really happy, you kind of want to grow yourselves, don't you? Grow your own little, you know, so you feel bigger than everybody else around you. Well, God quickly said, you know what? I'm going to use my man Stephen. He's going to proclaim the gospel. He's going to die for me. And there's going to be persecution. And you guys are going to move out when you're persecuted. My question to you is, do you want to wait for God to persecute you to move you out? Or would you like to follow his commands first? Because some of you are always wondering, why is God working me like this? Because he said to do something and you kept giving him an excuse. Or you ignore him. Why are churches closing down? Because there's no more unsaved people? Because they don't use YouTube good enough? The pastor doesn't tweet people? Or did they forget to go share the gospel and win lost souls? To get off their block and move out. So we have this right at the beginning of Acts. Then turn, if you would, to the right. To Acts 13. Acts 13 generally comes after 12 and normally precedes 14, so you'll get there. Acts 13:1 says this, now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. First off, how'd you get a church in Antioch? Well, when persecution comes, all those Christians that were from Jerusalem that were hanging out down there went north. Antioch is at one of those trade centers where all roads lead through there, just like Nord and I were talking about being from Bakersfield. All roads lead through Bakersfield. All roads lead through that near area of Antioch. Shipping lanes, all that stuff. It was a natural hub, and everybody went back to where they were. And this group in Antioch was quickly becoming a church that listened to the Holy Spirit and was becoming one of those churches that stood out, not because they were better than everybody else, because they were willing to do the job. Look how he describes this place. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger. Lucius of Cyrene. Manaen, a member of the court of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. So these guys are a very group.
But he's naming off what a great looking team they have there. And while they are worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. You see, the Holy Spirit talked to them while they were praying, gave them a vision, and then they went and prayed about it. Because you're sending off Barnabas and Saul from our church. These are the shakers and movers of their church, and they're going to send out their best. You know, in modern day, we kind of go, who can we get rid of? We got to send two out. There's a couple people I'd like to put in a van and go introduce them to a new church. You know, let's move them out. Who's going to be a sacrificial lamb for us? Normally, we don't think about sending out our best. But these were the best. And then a very simple statement here in 4:13-4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went and put an ellipsis in there, dot, dot, dot. Read the rest of the story. You forward this to chapter 16. And there's going to be words in here that are hard to pronounce. So if I get them wrong, forgive me, but I dare you to get them better than I get them. 16:1 says this, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and he circumcised him because of the Jews. There's a grown man being circumcised so he can go on a missions trip. Where are my missionaries to Mexico? How would you like your, you know, let's talk to your son about a little bit of cosmetic surgery. You want to go to Mexico? Do you really want to go to Mexico? See, they left out of Antioch, and through that leaving and going, God brought the right people to them to do the mission they're called to. And in verse 6, he says this, and they went. Well, that would be Paul and Timothy and Luke, Barnabas had gone his way with John Mark. That's a story you could pick up later. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. Having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak to the word in Asia, and when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And as a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Amen. I'd like to introduce you to a guy that has a heart for an area that might stand up to anybody's call to be in an area as a lifetime missionary, both in his vocation, but certainly in his heart for Jesus Christ. You may know him, and if you haven't met him, he would be right up there behind Charleston Heston with the voice that should speak for God. And I introduce to you, not because he is a man that just has a great voice, but he has a heart for the Lord, for a community in Traver. George Nord, come on up here. Let's go ahead and take this off of mute, Dave. Wake up. Quit playing Halo. No. Go ahead and sit down, George.
I've been on Saturday Night Live, but not Johnny Carson.
See, wouldn't you love to hear that? And now God's anger. Not a great voice. George, how long have you been in Traver?
Well, actually, I started in 1971, so I'll let you do the math.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. Why Traver? I mean, is it just the beauty of the town?
Well, you know, I finished college at Fresno State and needed a job teaching and saw this little card on the wall at Fresno State. Never heard of Traver, actually, before that. Said, hey, I'm going to go check it out. Checked it out, interviewed, The next day, I had one scheduled with Fresno Unified, and I knew I really didn't want to go to Fresno. So when they offered me a job just a few hours later at Traber, I took it, and I've really never been sorry.
What is it you do there now? I mean, you were what have you done in that town? Why do you have such a love there?
Well, I went there as a teacher. I taught fifth grade for 5 years, taught third grade for 5 years, and the principal superintendent job opened up, and thought, hey, I should throw my hat in here. I had the right credentials and that kind of stuff. So I threw my hat in the ring, and the Lord blessed me and got me that job. And so I was in the principal superintendent position and for 26 years, just retired just about 5 years ago now. So,
how'd you go beyond the superintendent level to actually being like the grandpa of hundreds and hundreds of kids? How did that happen?
Well, actually, when I retired, you know, you have to do something in retirement, right? Richard knows that. Some of you know that who retired. And I was so used to going to Traver and trying to help people that I saw some new opportunities outside the formal school system to try to help people. So we started through CAPS, and we had been looking for a number of years on how to branch out the CAPS program here in Kingsburg. I hope you know about that. And so we saw an opportunity to open a thrift store and the services out there in Traver. And so I worked with the school district and with the CAPS organization, began being on the CAPS board, and very quickly, in fact, in November after I retired, we opened that thrift store, and we've been open now about 4.5 years. So that's what led me here. Now, that's, of course, opened many opportunities. And the nice part is Traber's a manageable size. You don't have thousands and thousands of people there. I guess numbers kind of spook me sometimes. But you've got a nice size number of people there, probably between 800 and 1,000 people in Traber, and 180 resident units. So it's manageable. I feel like I virtually know every one of those, if not by name, at least by face. And so it's been fun for me in retirement to be able to go back. You know, you got to get out of the house sometimes to keep good peace at home. So I can go to Traver as much as I want to, or sometimes as little as I can, depending on other things in my life too. So,
what's the difference between what you're doing now and what you did before? What do you get to do now that really brings you joy?
Well, you know, now I've got a little more freedom in many ways to pick and choose what I want to do. When you're sitting in the job at the school, and of course Steve knows that by now, there are certain things you have to do, certain ways you have to act, certain things you can say, and certain things you probably shouldn't say at that point. And so now I probably have a greater freedom to speak, freedom to do, freedom to touch the people, work hard on different things, ignore certain things I don't want to deal with. And so I've got a new level of freedom, and that in sharing my faith too. So,
but isn't Traver like the most dangerous place in the world?
I've told a number of people I feel safer in Traver than I do in Kingsburg at night. Traver is not a dangerous place by any means. We have an excellent group of people there. That's one of the nice things about Traver is it's got a really fine population. Now, we have a few stinkers, I call them, just like Kingsburg or anywhere else does. And sometimes they get a little more attention than they deserve. But overall, the population is a real trusting, very fine population of people, many who've been there for many, many years. Whether they be Hispanic or Anglo or whatever, they've been there for many years. Sometimes you might think it's a transient population, but when I started nearly 40 years ago, there was a heavy movement of people for the crops. That's pretty much come to a halt. Most people do not move now to different parts of the country to work in the ag. Most of these people stay there. They own their own homes, or they've long-term renters, and so it's a stable population now.
When I first mentioned to the CAPS board about our desire for Traver, what was your biggest concern?
CJ. And I didn't get to know.
Oh.
You knew me, I'd be honest with you. Right? Well, you know, what was my biggest concern was I thought, hey, is somebody new going to come along and drop the bomb and say, we're going to fix you? And small communities like Traver, in case you don't know, Traver is not a city. It is simply a an island in the county. It's under Tulare County. We don't have our own police service, fire service, those kind of things. It's all under county. And any number of times over the last years that I've worked there, there have been promises and promises, largely from the county, sometimes from different organizations. Hey, we're going to help you do this. We're going to get this for you. We're going to do this or that, the other thing. And usually it's a very short-lived promise because as government usually comes out, they promise big things and deliver either nothing or very little things or not very consistent. So I've seen a lot of inconsistencies, and the people grow tired of that. They grow close to it. And so I said, uh-oh, we don't want this to happen. If the Orchard's going to come out here and work in this community, it has to be low profile to some degree to win the hearts, to win the friendship, to win the trust of people. And I think through the CAPS organization that I hope many of you are involved in, I know some of you are, CAPS has brought that level of stability to the town. Greg coming out teaching ESL classes probably starting about 3 years ago was one of the finest things that really laid a foundation really for you folks to come in and now do other things that give you credibility and give you the ability to speak to people at a point they will hear you, not just put you off. I think they will accept you in many ways once you've established your credibility, and at least that's been started.
Yeah. What's missing in the town? I mean, just because to me it's like when I hear about Traver, I hear the, you know, it's the worst place on the earth, and people die just by going there, and you know, and everybody hates, you know, Jesus. There's all these fake things I think Satan has set up in the minds of men to stop us from being effective. But what's one of the things that, as you've been there, because I think you can see the what could happen in that town. What's stopping it?
Church-wise, there are several churches in town. There's a Catholic church that was a spinoff from the one in Kingsbury here when they moved to dropping Latin, moving to English. Some of the old folks in there did not like losing the language and that stuff, so they created, they've got a Catholic church there, Portuguese Catholic, I guess, in most cases I call it. And there, of course, is another one that is related to the Catholic church here in town. There's a Church of God that is really not very active in the town. People do come from other places and go there, and I have not seen a great vision by that church for spreading the gospel and working with the folks in Traver. So while the church occupies a spot in that town, in my mind, they haven't done a lot for the town in sharing their faith. There is a good Hispanic church that has been there for quite a number of years. Some of you knew Dr. A.W. Schlechting, who was a chiropractor in Reedley. He started that church now a bunch of years ago. And it continues to go on. It has not blossomed yet. I think it has some potential, and I do appreciate CJ being in touch with them and working with them. So I think there's some potential there. But there are a lot of Anglos, the English-speaking population in Traver, that really are not served by any church in that town. Traver's made up, really, and I told CJ a little earlier, probably three distinct populations, much like Kingsburg. You have got a old school Anglo folks, many of who've lived there. Traver is, so in case you didn't know, Traver was big in 1880 to 1890. And then, of course, when the alkali came up in those wet years, it destroyed the farming. But Traver was actually considered for the state capital way back in the late 1800s. So it was a big boom town. So you've got the older families that have stayed there just because home is home. You've got a lot of Hispanic families who came here now probably at least 20 years ago. People own their houses. They've been long-term rentals. They've stayed there. They're not moving around for the crops. And, then, of course, you do have a section, too, that are the agriculture-related workers, usually single young men who come to live and work in the crops and sometimes go back to Mexico for part of the slow season, all those things. So you've got all three of those populations that you can well serve, and all of them need Jesus Christ. All of them need to know about that. All need to know more. All of them need to experience His love. So there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, we have the school that is quite honestly infiltrated with Christians. I wonder who started that trend.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the privileges of being a small school superintendent. You can pick and choose. And Steve and I have talked any number of times. I can sell Traver School to anybody with any brains. if they want to come and make a difference somewhere, that's a place to do it in a small school system where you really got a lot of freedom that maybe you don't in a Fresno Unified or even sometimes in a Kingsburg schools. We do many things out there. We purposely, when I went to a teacher fair, I purposely looked for people with a vision, with a heart. Pretty easy to spot if they got some faith behind them too. And so we've always looked for that. I think Steve continues to do that. And you can find them. So because most of the school staff, teacher-wise, are Christian people and do show their faith in many ways during the day that probably you never hear about, but the kids do.
In talking to Ida at when she's there at TCAF, of course, Emily's now there all the time, Ida's daughter, who's just fun to watch her grow and take over the store. And then how many of our ladies are at the store over there? About four or five of you up on the wall. And that's just a really neat opportunity right there on school property, isn't it?
Yeah.
Leased from school?
Yeah, the property is leased from the school district across town from the school.
Yeah, and then we've got the Little MB Church, which is the church we're talking about. And as a church, we're working with them and their denomination and some of the local MB pastors like Pastor Penner to come alongside and get that church up to speed, because we're not here to recruit them out of their denomination. If there's a good evangelical church that we can come in and minister through, because getting these kids saved or these families saved, the next step for them has got to get them connected to a church, or they continue a cycle of, well, something happened, then something didn't happen. And so we, when we look at that town, it's amazing. You have the school on the northeast side. You have the at the southwest side, you've got TCAPS. And then if you kind of draw a line to the northwest side, you won't almost run into that MB church right there, mm-hmm. which is just eye shot away from the high school. And almost directly across town from there, there's like this cool little Trinity thing going, that if we could get these things working together in a synergy of just not, you know, we're not just there to win people to Christ, but we are there to see them become Christians, but we're there to elevate every family in that town towards a hope. You know, all these kids go from their junior high to our high school. They come here. And they're doing great until they run into a Kingsburg kid.
You see, that scares the people of Kingsburg. At least it used to. It maybe doesn't so much anymore, but you would think about it. You've got a large Hispanic population infiltrating this pretty white community, right? And so it is a little scary, but it's a fact of life. I'm in the Covenant Church over here, and I see dating and whatnot going on here. And, boy, we better make sure that they know the Lord. It doesn't matter their skin color. All of them need to know the Lord.
So. Amen. And so if we're looking there, what we're seeing is, we're going to work through CAPS and work along with the school system, and then we're going to try to help the healthiness of the MB church there, and there's kind of some timing in there, but to plant a church is not what we're doing first. We're going in there to work the soil that's already been worked, to come alongside, prepare, and to see what it is, what kind of church needs to be planted there, particularly. And with our DNA, it would have to be a church that's going to go and try to win their community for Christ, and then they're going to go to the next. They're going to have an Acts 1:8 model DNA, which isn't EV-free. It's not MB or BAP. That is the DNA for all Christian churches. It's not just about the orchard. Our job, though, is to go and advance the kingdom of Christ. And so we're calling you guys to be part of that coming up on Easter. But if you remember in Acts here, we talked about praying. And I got to tell you, I am one of the worst people when it comes to church prayer nights. I think they're boring and ineffective. But not in the orchard. Not in the orchard. That's not what we're going to do. We're not praying about the boil on your aunt's chin. Unless that boil's getting in the way of ministry. We're going to be praying about God changing our hearts and minds to be missionaries to those places he sends us tonight. And when you talk about the DNA of a church, if you think you're part of the orchard and you can't make it tonight in prayer, we're going to have more prayer coming.
Because every church that I've ever interviewed says, we want to be about evangelism, we want to be about prayer, we want more intimacy in our Bible time, we want more intimacy with our people, but they always do that thinking that the prayer or the evangelism and those times are separated from the call of the mission. It is the mission period.
It is the mission period. I'm doing that without a mic today. It is a mission period that we're about. So why come out and pray tonight? Because you need to get your hearts right about the mission. If it is the end times and Christ could come back and he's going to ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? Here's Traver that people have been laboring in with the gospel for a long time. And you have the opportunity to go in there and you get to stand on the backs of those who've already done the work for you, yet you were too cowardly to obey my call. How do you stand in front of your Jesus and look him in the eye? Well, I don't come to church to do that. That's why we have missionaries go do that stuff. They do that stuff. Really? What did he say in Acts? Don't worry about when Christ is coming back. You know what you need to be concerned about? Living in the power of the Holy Spirit, ministering as a church, taking the fight to Satan. Because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against her. If you're a Christian and you feel like your Christian life is anemic, one of two things. You're in an anemic church, or you're not connected to an on-fire church. Because you were not created to live your Christian faith in isolation. You're created to do it in a church. Whether that's at the Covenant, who just last week, didn't you guys go out to London?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a service Sunday. A couple in the second year, now we've had a service Sunday.
Yeah, you're taking it out on the streets.
Yeah, yeah, we did. We had about 20 in Traver that worked at TCAPS. I think there were about 80 that actually went to London. London's a brand new ministry, too. If you haven't heard about that, we're going to have LCAPS opening up hopefully in the next week or two. I just got to get the electricity turned on. But that's a great opportunity. London, remember, is three times the size of Traver, over 2,000 people out there.
And it doesn't even have a school.
Doesn't have a school there. It has a preschool and a little community center. But it's pretty Wild West compared to Traver. Wanted to mention, too, you know, it doesn't. You don't have to be a CJ, a speaker kind of person, to be a missionary. You can go out, and there are lots of things you can do. You know, we're looking for people to sign up this summer. Summer school ends the beginning of July. There's about 6 or 8 weeks there where there's no lunch program for kids. And a lot of parents are off working, double parents. You have to work when you're working minimum wage stuff. You better get to work while you can, and you better have both parents working. So they're going to need some people to help serve lunch. We're going to do over TCAPS. There's a program that provides the lunch. You don't have to cook. You just have to pass out, talk to kids. Opportunities after that, if you are into a craft, guys who like to fix bicycles, I've always thought every kid needs a bicycle, right? Why not get a group of men who could fix bikes once a week, once every couple weeks, say, hey, kids, bring your bikes. We're going to pump up tires. I'm going to teach you how to straighten out spokes and adjust your bike and make it work better, longer. All kinds of things. The Good News Club was out at one of the TCAPS events. You can join that. If you just want to do something quietly, like the ladies in your church come over and they do some cleaning and some organizing and hanging of clothes to get them ready to put on racks, those kind of things are needed too. I know some of your people have been involved in construction and helping with getting our building. We just brought in a new building in the last year, and there's a group of them that are working on that. Other churches are involved, too. The community church has been involved in some of that and some of the others. So there's a lot of ways to serve. Some of you may not want to take that route and just write out the checks, but do it consistently so that the others that are built on that can carry on, too.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of opportunities. I know over at the school, they're always looking for people to tutor. There are kids that need tutoring. I mentioned the Big Brothers, Big Sisters program. A lot of kids out there that don't have a dad in the home or don't have a consistent dad that could use a man or a lady for the girls to walk along beside them. Now, that won't happen by the snap of the fingers. Again, it's building relationships, building understanding, building friendships, and building confidence in each other, too. So that does take some time. So look for a little bit of time that you can give in one way or another, but don't rule anything out. God does some special things with some pretty ordinary people, sometimes. So don't rule anything out.
And when you talk about, well, how are we going to reach a Hispanic community when, you know, besides our equal opportunity people, and you know who you are, so you keep our Hispanic population in our church up. Thank you very much, all nine of you.
Your quota?
Yeah, we've got a quota. I hired one. I got a quota pastor. And Rick helps because he's Filipino, which is kind of Spanish and Asian.
Yeah.
So, you know, that keeps us going. But all these kids want to know how to speak, read, and think and live in the language of their country, and their parents want them to. But they also need people who are willing to go take the gospel to their heart language and teach them how to do these things and be with them. And this is where we're going, folks. Not forever, because we're going to be winning Christ here in this town too. You can chew and walk at the same time, most of you. You can chew gum and walk. Chew gum. All right, Ruth Wardwell likes to chew tobacco. No, she doesn't, but she's not here, so I can make fun of Ruth. But guys, we're going to be doing it both. It's not one or the other. It's yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. And we get to work with, wouldn't you like our youth group kids to be around a guy like George Nord? People like Emily, our young ladies around Ida's daughter. We're talking about disciple making and changing lives for an eternity. And God has put it right in front of us. And so this isn't a program we're doing on Easter. That's not what we're doing. We're stepping forward. And I believe that God's going to bring us people to help do this plan, just like he brought Timothy to Paul when Paul left Antioch. And then when he got into a situation where he and John Mark were like, well, I'm going to go back and minister to the churches we've already done. And Paul's like, no, I'm all about moving forward. He lost to John Mark, but he gained to Timothy. But Paul and Barnabas then got to go do that ministry too. We can do both. We can fight this battle on more than one front. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. So I guess in some ways I'm letting you know, this is where we're going as a church. We're going to do this, and we're going to be looking for planting a church in Fowler or Layton or Carruthers. Really? Maybe? Or moving all those people this way. But whatever we're going to do, this is just the beginning of living a life on God's terms for other people and not doing church as consumers. We're doing church as equippers for a purpose of being witnesses of Jesus Christ, enabled by the Holy Spirit. So when we start having prayer events or even revelation where we come to sing and open our hearts up together in front of God and we have trainings for evangelism, you guys, you got to know this is not a program. We're not doing it so you can check off your evangelism class. We're doing it because you're going to need it. And if you don't need it, it means you're not doing ministry. And if you can go to a kid in Traver and share the love of God with him, maybe there's a kid in your own family, a nephew or a niece or a grandchild, that because of this experience, you're going to have a new vigor to share the gospel with them. And why are we doing it on Easter? Easter's for the people who haven't experienced the resurrection. How many of you know Jesus Christ personally as a Savior? Easter is for us to take to them, the ones who need to know Christ. And they deserve a good church. Like they deserve a great school. They deserve a good church that can not only have the heart of Traver and the mind of Traver, but the soul of Traver for Christ. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to work with other Christians from other churches, because in Kingsburg, that's what we do, isn't it? That's what we do. And maybe we'll be able to look at Traver someday and go, maybe it is the right place to move the capital. Because I'm tired of Sacramento. I say, live in Traver, baby. You want to be an elected official? Go to Traver.
That's right.
You know, or King City or someplace like that. You want to do it? Make it a ministry. Let me pray for us. We got a lot of stuff to do. Every one of those eggs, when you do an egg, pray over it. Pray over the people handing it out. Those little hands that are going to pick them up. the mamas and papas, they're going to look at their kids and go, why do they love my kids so much? Could they love me too? And we'll say, yes, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, break our hearts for your mission. To see a man in his 20s to repent and know you deeply as Savior and his whole household change, for miracles to be worked as your life is given out for others there. As Satan loses his grip, may we be prepared for the fight. Guard our hearts and minds for you, Jesus, that you might get all the glory. In your precious name, and all the people said with enthusiasm, amen. Thank you, guys. There's snacks back out there. There's eggs, and then there's pizza.